Welcome to Steve Dale's Pet World.
You don't have a better bad idea than this?
This is the best bad idea we have, sir.
If you've got pets, he's got answers.
You are a sad, strange little man.
Steve can help. We're positive.
Oh, God, this thing is going downhill fast.
You've got America's pet expert here on Steve Dale's Pet World.
It's called Guardians of the Night. Victoria Stilwell, the one and only, is here, and she is guarding all of us in this amazing series that highlights what dogs can do for us and do for us all the time that we might not even know about. Hello, Victoria Stilwell.
Hello.
So tell me about the series.
Well, it's 4 years in the making, and it aired on my YouTube channel and on my Facebook. And it shows the real life of canines.
Meaning?
Well, we go out with these canine officers and their dogs. And we go out on all their calls and we film their real life. So not only showing the kind of cops, as it were, way of, you know, showing all the calls, but also really highlighting the attachment that these handlers have with their dogs, the training, and what life is like for them, sort of when the job is over, what life is like, and how much these guys love their dogs. It's beautiful, and it's a side that not a lot of people see.
Well, I think that's absolutely right. So there are three things about the show that touched me. First of all, law enforcement lately has gotten a bad name, but yet when something happens, anything happens, that's who we call for help. And I think it's unfortunate and wrong that a few bad instances have tainted an entire industry. I don't think that's fair. I don't think that's right. And law enforcement, if we have heroes in America, they are everyday heroes. And that is the way you portray it, because that's what they are, first of all. Secondly, I don't believe that most people know what, quote, police dogs do. We see them, but unless we're the bad guys, we don't know actively what they do on a day-to-day basis. And maybe most importantly, and you've touched on all these things, but I want you to elaborate a little bit, the bond is palpable. You know, so we all have bonds. We all love our dogs in a way that, or cats, in a way that is very touching and is very important to us. I would argue that working with these animals and depending on them for your life and vice versa, the bond is somehow even stronger. Can you touch on all those points?
Well, there aren't many jobs where people have to put on a bulletproof vest to go to work and hope that they come back at the end of the night. And so the work that these handlers do with the dogs by their side is sometimes, you know, can mean life or death. And so that dog is always with that handler, and that dog is with these handlers more than their families are. So, you know, when you are doing a dangerous job, when there's threats at all times, that does create a bond. And, you know, these guys rely on their partners, on their canine partners, as well as their human partners as well, and their business partners. They rely on them to keep them safe. And they also will do what they can to keep their dogs safe as well. They're a team. And so their dogs don't go anywhere without them. They don't go anywhere without their dogs. And that's what I wanted to show. Also, unfortunately, because of old age or disease or something, sometimes, you know, these dogs get to the age when they retire, and then for whatever reason, some of them have, died because of a disease. One of our great dogs, Canine Ico, contracted cancer, and there's a huge funeral for him. And I think it just shows how communities as well value their dogs, because remember, here in the United States, it's the community that owns the dog. The departments have the dog, and the communities, you know, elect the departments, and the departments are the ones that, you know, get these dogs. But we, the community, have these dogs. They represent us, and they are there to keep us safe. And I think that's what people don't really understand.
You know, I will admit this to you. I was watching that, and I cried, you know. It's amazing how, even by watching through a YouTube channel, in my case, sitting at home and watching on my computer, I was somewhat bonded with this dog. I thought I knew a bit because this dog had been featured before. And now this dog, as you described, succumbs to cancer somewhat unexpectedly. And the outpouring of emotion, I think, transcended through a computer terminal.
It did. I think that shows the power. I mean, social media is very powerful anyway, but the chance for us to be able to put this on a channel that could go all over the world, where you're limited when it's on television, but it could show people all over the world what these dogs did. And so would we have preferred to be on TV? Yeah, there are some general channels we would have liked to have been on, but unfortunately they didn't want our show. And I think they made a mistake, because the response that we've had has been absolutely overwhelming, not just from police departments, but also from the general public that have been watching. And, you know, from all over the world as well.
Yeah, I think that the powers that be may even change their minds after watching some of these shows, because they're so darn good. Victoria Stillwell, again, describe where people can watch this. Guardians of the Night, available where?
It's available on my YouTube channel and my Facebook, and that's just facebook.com/Victoria Stillwell, and again, youtube.com/Victoria Stillwell. You'll be able to see all of the episodes, 8 episodes, and they're only 10 minutes long, and you'll be able to see them all on those two platforms.
Or you can find them easily enough on your website, which is positively.com. More of this great lady, Victoria Stillwell. We talk about puppy mills next, right here, 720 WGN. You know her. I know her. We all love her. Victoria Stillwell from Animal Planet's It's Me or the Dog. Hello.
Hi, Steve. That's just a great introduction.
My goal in life is to blow out your ears at some point in time. So now you're doing so many things. And one thing, you know, of course, I follow you on your website, positively.com, and in social media, and I watch Guardians of the Night. But what's more, you are out there walking the walk. And one of the reasons why I have so much respect for you, you know, so you're doing this Facebook Live thing, and it's not from a shopping mall. And it's not from your kid's school. It's from a puppy mill where you're participating in saving animals. And, you know, I cross-posted that. And I will tell you, every time I cross-post something like that or talk myself on the radio about puppy mills, I get a call, I get an email, I get something in social media saying, puppy mills still exist? And I want to talk about that, because I think that people may not even realize that they do and how bad they are.
Oh, unfortunately they do, Steve, and there are thousands and thousands and thousands of them around the United States and more around the world. And as long as people keep buying from pet stores, as long as people keep buying from flea markets and dodgy internet sites, there will be a need for these puppy mills. And it's a tragedy.
Yeah, I think that people, with all the press you've done, that I've done, frankly, and many other people, you know, I mean, Oprah Winfrey's talked about puppy mills. It's been on 2020, the magazine network TV show, more than once. And on. I mean, the list goes on, in print, in Time magazine even at one point. People still don't realize, if you purchase a dog from a pet store, where is that dog from, Vic?
A puppy mill. Whether they say it's not, or, yeah, it is. You know, they, look, no self-respecting breeder. And I just want to qualify this. I'm not against really good breeding. Breeding for the love of the breed, for the betterment of the breed, and, you know, people who care for their animals. I'm not against that. But what I am against is the production of puppies just for money. And the factory farming of these puppies, that the puppies will see the light of day, but the breeding sires and the breeding mums will not. And they will see the inside of a cage with wire flooring for their entire lives. They are bred twice a year, and they are bred to death. And by the age of 5 or 6, once they have, they know they are not useful to the farmers anymore, they will be killed and they will not be euthanized. they will be killed, either being by drowned, electrocuted, or shot, or starved. And this is the reality for that little pet store puppy that person in the pet store says, oh, no, this puppy didn't come from a puppy mill. Yes, it did. They use middlemen, and these middlemen get their puppies from puppy mills.
Yep, you're absolutely right about everything. And the other concern I have is the online now. So you can go online, and the puppy mills actually know what to do. They know what consumers look for responsible breeders, for what a nice website would look like. So they hire a web designer who seems to know what they're doing. They type out some copy that answers questions that are the right answers, or theoretically the right answers. But they're puppy mills, and what I tell people is before they purchase a dog online, unless you're absolutely, really, totally positive as to what that site is, you need to visit the facility in person.
You absolutely do. And you need to see puppy with its mom, with the correct mother, because, you know, the puppy mills are clever. They will put a puppy with any mother, any dog that looks like a mom. But you need to see the puppy with the mother, and you need to really take note of the environment. Where is this? Where, you know, what? And ask and question and get health records and, you know, really, really do your research before you get it. Otherwise, you will be buying into the misery, the neglect, the torture, and the abuse of millions of animals that languish in puppy mills in this country.
You know, there are laws in now over 200 cities in the U.S. and Canada that prevent consumers from purchasing dogs or cats from pet stores. They don't allow pet stores to sell dogs or cats, in some cases also rabbits, anymore. Chicago is included. And in the state where I live, in Illinois, some legislators wanted to say, okay, you can't have that law. It has to go back in time. That law can no longer exist, even though the local communities, not only in Chicago, but some other communities have passed similar laws, no more. What's more, going forward, there can be no community that would ban dogs or cats being sold to pet stores. And the AKC, the American Kennel Club, is supportive of this. Even in Illinois, the Veterinary Medical Association is supportive. It boggles my mind how an organization that purports, in the case of the AKC, to be pro-dog can be pro-puppy mills, because by supporting this law, in my mind, they're supporting puppy mills.
Yes, they are, and it's just money, though. Money, 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 money. Less puppies, less, you know, and because I have to tell you this, and I'm glad we're talking about this, Steve, because I got a chance in September to go around Lancaster, Pennsylvania, and rescue some of the breeding stock that the Amish puppy millers didn't want anymore. And I'm telling you, driving around Lancaster, Pennsylvania, the signs outside a lot of these puppy mills, AKC registered puppies, there you have it. Unfortunately, a lot of the breeders that the AKC registered are actually puppy millers. So there you go. That's just one example.
Yeah, I know it. And, you know, I know you're working diligently, and I've been talking about this for years, too. Is this work going to go on forever? Do you see light at the end of the tunnel? I mean, certainly the whole idea of these laws I talked about, for example, came organically from people who said, we just can't tolerate this anymore. I mean, are you optimistic? Or for me, not so much because of all these online sales.
I'm not so optimistic, but in one way, but in another, I am. In the UK, there's an amazing man called Mark Abraham, and if you go and Google Pup Age, you'll be able to see what he does. And he's working in Parliament right now, and they are trying to get a law passed which will ban third-party sales, which means that puppy mills would not be able to be sold, or puppies from puppy mills would not be able to be sold in stores or on internet sites, and, you know, that would ban it. That's what needs to happen over here. I'm not too sure, but what we have to do is, if we can't do anything legislation-wise, we need to get to the buyers. If there are no consumers, then there will be not a need for puppies, and that's who we need to get to, and we can.
All right. Victoria Stilwell, you know I think you are incredible. Thank you for all you do. It is positively.com. That's Victoria Stilwell's website. And look for her YouTube series, Guardians of the Night. Thank you, Victoria.
Thank you.
I do strange things in the park. There I was with the TV crew in the park picking up after my dog to show that you should pick up after your dog. But I also spoke on camera about why it is our veterinarians are so excited about what comes out the other end of the dog, and they want to see a sample of it. Is this too early in the morning to talk about that? People ask me all the time, what is my veterinarian looking for, and why does my veterinarian get so excited about poop? Well, it is because of what might be inside that poop. It could be intestinal parasites. And it's a treasure hunt that your veterinarian is looking for these parasites, but it's no treasure for your dog. It's not a healthy thing for your dog. And in fact, some of these parasites can infect us too. And there's a new test called the fecal antigen test. I am now telling you much more than you want to know, I'm sure. But it's something you might even want to ask your veterinarian about, because this is a more effective, more accurate test than veterinary medicine has had previously to discover these exciting intestinal parasites.